for us to be here. It's good for us to worship you as the God of our salvation. It is good that we see only Jesus as our true Savior from sin. Bless our time together. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that he may lead us into all truth. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Congregation may be seated. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, I mentioned last night, I don't know how many years ago it was, and maybe somebody here can remember when it was, but that first time that the people of Iraq were allowed to vote, is that 10 years ago already? Or I don't remember how long ago it was. But what is it that gave to those Iraqis the confidence to vote? Because if you remember, they were told if they go to the polling places, it meant certain death. There would be bombs and everything else. So what made them confident enough to go and vote? I think simply it was all of the security that they saw around the polling places. Armed soldiers all over the place. They were surrounded by barbed wire fences, concrete barriers. And once they saw all of that security, then they were confident to go and to cast. You know, sometimes we, in our daily walk through life, need votes of confidence. We need to bolster our confidence. For example, if you're walking through the dark streets of a town late some evening, and you see a couple of little shady-looking characters across the street, and they're kind of watching you walking down that street, what happens when suddenly you see a police car drive along the street? You kind of go, I think I'm going to be okay. So that kind of bolsters your confidence a little bit. You know what they say, seeing is believing. And maybe that's why sometimes it's hard for us to be a Christian. God wants us to be confident Christians. But that same God never lets us see him. Have you ever noticed that about our God? Our God is a God who likes to hide himself, who likes to be invisible. So we have a God who he comes to us and he says, I will take care of you. But as you're driving down the road, as you're at work, whether you're at home or doing your daily activities, you never, ever see God. We have a God who says to us, I'm in control of the world. And yet, what do we see and hear about? Natural disasters, terrible things happening, shootings, crimes all over the place. And what do we have? Where is God? Is God really in control? Again, God describes himself in the Bible as a powerful, as a wise, a loving, and a glorious God. All of those adjectives to describe him, and yet here on earth, we can't see him. And we can't see those things about God. And so when we find ourselves struggling with problems and trials and tests in our lives, we kind of end up looking up into heaven and asking, God, I wish just once you would let me see you. Let me see that you truly are here. Give me a glimpse of your glory. Let me see your power and your mercy. I want to see that you are really here. But you know what, my friends, every time we do something like that and have those thoughts or literally say those words, do you realize that God is standing right in front of your face and he's looking at you right in the eyes? You might not be able to see him, but God is here, right now, with all his power, with all his wisdom and grace and glory. Right here, right now. But God's not going to suddenly turn on lights so that we can see him more clearly and see him at all. See, if you want to connect to the invisible God, you're going to have to do it a different way. I mean, if you think about it, just think of all of the invisible things that are out there all around us. I mean, there are radio waves, television signals, satellite signal, cell phone signals. Last weekend, when I was here for liturgy, my mic kept going on and off in the Saturday night service. And I asked Kevin, what am I doing wrong with this stupid mic? He said, it's not you. I said, well, that's nice for a change. It wasn't me, but he says there's so many radio waves and things in the air that we can't see that it seems that all of those cell phone signals or whatever they were causing interferences. So they're out there. You just can't see them. The only way that we can either see them or hear them is by connecting to that device, whether it's a cell phone or a television or a computer or whatever it is. Well, in the same way, as we sit here with all of our five senses intact, we can't perceive God's presence. And yet, His glory is here. His wisdom and His power are here, but we can't perceive those things. And yet there is, my friends, a way that you can connect yourself to the living and invisible God. And that's here, through His Word. He's given us His Word where He reveals Himself to us. That's how you can connect yourself to the invisible God. And you know, once you make that connection, and once you stay in that connection, in other words, that you are a child of God in the Word, then you don't need to see God. You can be that confident Christian because you simply know by faith that God is here for you. The Apostle Peter speaks to us this morning from this first epistle of his and encourages us to pay close attention to that special book that we call the Bible. He reminds us, in a sense, that instead of God walking next to you in a visible way, God stays invisible, but He walks right beside you every step of the way with His Word. Instead of God speaking to you face to face, God remains invisible, and yet we have a God who speaks so clearly to us, again, through His Word. That's where God comes into your life. And He comforts you. He encourages you. He gives you confidence to face all of the ups and downs, all of the trials and challenges that life can bring your way. That is how we get connected to the invisible God. Listen to how Peter describes the Bible. We do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter comes to us, he says, this isn't a bunch of made-up stories. And unfortunately, so many in our world think that's what the Bible is, so they simply ignore it. And they may look for other self-help books or other religious books, thinking that'll fix their life or get them closer to God. How sad that they do not see the Bible for what it is. Listen to what Peter says. We do not follow cleverly invented stories, but we are eyewitnesses of His majesty. So, my friends, if we want to get connected to God, that invisible God, what better place is there for us to do that than where we can read eyewitness accounts of that majesty and that glory of God? Of course, we know on this Transfiguration Sunday that Peter is referring to that special night, that mount when he and James and John joined Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there, they were eyewitnesses of something absolutely incredible. They saw God in the face of Jesus, the one who had been with them in human form, but now they saw Him in a whole new light as He truly was the true God on that mountaintop. What an incredible opportunity. So Jesus gave to those disciples a glimpse of His majesty and of His glory, of who He truly is. And not only did they see with their eyes this majestic glory, but they also heard it with their ears. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." You know, it really must have been kind of shocking if you would have been up there with Peter and James and John and suddenly hear a voice out of nowhere, out of the clouds, talking about Jesus. He was an ensign. Even though he looks lowly and humble, this one standing in front of you is none other than God himself in the flesh. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. My dear friends, that's what makes the Bible, the Word of God, so unique. It was written by people who were eyewitnesses of the glory and the majesty of God. So if you want to connect yourself to this invisible God, if you want to draw closer to him, if you want to know more about him, who he is and what he came into the world for, if you want God to speak to you and to guide you and to encourage you and to strengthen you in your walk through life, this is where you go, right here. God has given us himself in this book. And yet, what happens? Why is it that this seems to be such a hard book for us to open and start to read? Even us Christians seem to have trouble with that. We seem to either be apathetic toward the Word of God or a total lack of interest in what God has to say in his Word. Have you ever thought about how is it that I'm as guilty as the next person, so I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm pointing them back at myself. How is it that you can open the sports page and you can read it, every word from the front page to the back? You know all of the stats, all of the statistics of your favorite player and your favorite team and your favorite sport. And yet, for some reason, there just isn't time for me to get into the Word and to see what God has to say to me about my life. Or how is it possible that we can spend on Sunday morning, you get that newspaper and you got all of those ads and advertisements for special sales at every store under the sun, and you read all of those to find just the right thing, or you go onto the internet and you want to look up something because you want to buy this or that. We can spend all of that time doing all of those things, but we won't put in half of the time or half of the energy in reading our Bible. God says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's sin when we don't let God speak to us through his Word. We are sinful people in our disinterest in this precious gift that God has given to us. That sinful nature that we're born with, that's what makes us seem to want to shy away from this Bible, because it shows us what we are truly like, sinners who need help. But that's the wonderful thing about this particular book, is that it's good news for sinners like me and sinners like you. Of all the glorious things that there are about our God revealed to us in his Word, the most glorious thing is the fact that Jesus who revealed his glory on that mountain, down from that mountain and went to another mountain, and there hid his glory. And he did that to take away your sins and mine. Of all the majestic things that there are about our God, his power over creation, his incredible intelligence and wisdom in ruling over all things, of all of those majestic things, the greatest of them is when God became nothing and went to the cross. When Jesus, instead of bright and shining, hung there in darkness to take away the sin of the world. The greatest of all the teachings in this book is the fact that because of his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, you and I are forgiven children of the Heavenly Father right now. You and I have a God who truly loves us right now. So, if you want to connect yourself to that God, to this invisible God, then first connect yourself to Jesus Christ. Because here in His Word, here is where He reveals Himself to you. Listen to what Peter says. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. Here, right here, is where you and I connect ourselves to the invisible God. Here is where God gives to us a glimpse of His glory. Here is where God can make your bad days not so bad. And God can make your good days even better. Here is where God makes your laughter more enjoyable, your sorrow more bearable, and your confidence stronger each and every day. And so, if you want to see God's glory, kind of like Peter and James and John got a glimpse of it on that mountain, I think my word of encouragement to you would be patient. Because one day we'll all see that glory face to face on that day when He comes again. But in that patience, and while we're waiting for that day, let's be God's people who are in the Word, who look to that Word to see God and to be enriched and strengthened in our faith so that we can and ought to be the confident Christians that God wants us to be. May God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.